Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Layla Sani. I work at Texas Children's Hospital. This afternoon, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about reminder recall, and specifically a recall initiative that we implemented for the last two summers in clinics in the Texas, and specifically in the Houston area. The specific objectives of our study were to identify and immunize children 19 to 35 months of age who were in need of routinely recommended immunizations, and to examine the revenue generated from the increased office visits prompted by the recall initiative. To start with, I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview about reminder recall. Reminder recall is an immunization best practice. Using reminder systems, parents are typically contacted when their children are in need of routinely recommended immunizations. This usually occurs at 2, 4, 6, and 12 months of age. Parents can be contacted by a variety of methods, including postcard, letter, telephone call, and auto dialer calls. Using recall systems, parents are typically contacted when their child is overdue for immunizations. This usually occurs after a chart review identifies children who are behind in their immunizations, and then parents are contacted in the same way as reminder systems, using the telephone calls, letters, and postcards. The reminder and recall systems have been routinely implemented in dental and veterinary practices, but have yet to be widely embraced and adopted by pediatric healthcare providers. So what does the literature say about reminder recall? Reminder and recall systems are effective in both pediatric and adult populations. They have been shown to raise immunization rates between 5 to 20%, depending on the specific methods used. They're effective in all medical settings, including private practices, academic medical centers, and public health department clinics, and are effective for both routinely recommended vaccines and targeted populations. Reminder and recall systems have traditionally been used among 19 to 35 month old patients. Looking at the primary series, they're also becoming increasingly used in adolescent patients, looking at Tdap, meningococcal vaccine, HPV vaccine, and the newer recommendations. All types of reminder and recall are effective. The literature suggests that person-to-person telephone reminders are probably the most effective. Getting a personal call really prompts parents to make appointments to bring their children back in. Letter reminders are also more effective than postcards, especially when official-looking letterhead is used from the practice. And then multiple reminders are more effective than single reminders. Reminder and recall systems also have additional benefits. Patients who are immunization delayed are often overdue on other preventative services, like well child care and hearing screenings. Reminder recall systems targeting immunizations can increase other aspects of preventative care, especially if implemented in primary care settings. So, if reminder recall systems are effective, why aren't they used more frequently? Several barriers to implementing recall systems exist. Perhaps the most important is that providers may not perceive that the literature actually applies to their practice. Current recommendations about how to implement reminder recall systems are also vague. Little guidance is given about the methods that should be used and the contact methods that should be employed. And traditionally, primary care practices have lacked the capability to track responses and measure effectiveness. However, with the widespread implementation of EMRs and IISs, this is changing. And finally, the complexity of the childhood immunization schedule can make it difficult to identify which children really are in need of immunizations. So, can immunization registries assist in performing reminder recall activities? IISs are a readily available wealth of information. Lists of immunization delayed children can be easily extracted in electronic format. Forecasting algorithms in many IISs are accurate and can minimize medical decision making. And letters and mailing labels can easily be generated for immunization delayed children, reducing the amount of staff time that's needed to actually conduct recall. So now that I've reviewed the literature about reminder recall, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of examples of recall we did in Houston. During the summer of 2007, we identified 19 to 35 month old patients from 8 participating practices. These patients were identified using the local registry and were then compared to the provider records at the practice. Approximately 3,000 potentially immunization delayed children were identified from the local registry after chart review to check for missing historical immunizations and to double check the accuracy of the forecasting algorithm. Approximately a third of these children were up to date after review. Another 15% were either MOGI'd or inactive, and approximately half of them were recalled. Following the recall initiative that summer, an additional 695 appointments were scheduled by these children, with an average of $135 billed per appointment scheduled. When we conducted this initiative, as we were looking at the data, we realized that many of these children probably would have come back to the practice for immunizations during the summer anyway, and we had no way of knowing how many of these children really came back in because of the recall we implemented. So that led us to this summer, or the summer of 2008 project. We conducted recall at 10 participating Texas Children's Pediatric Associate Practices. We used the local immunization registry to generate lists of children 19 to 35 months old who were behind on their immunizations. This initial search of the registry identified almost 5,000 children at the 10 study sites who were behind on their immunizations. During June through August 2008, we hired students. We placed a student at each practice who compared the registry-generated lists to the provider records to check for children who were delayed. The parents of children who were truly immunization delayed based on chart review of the patients identified from the registry were then contacted by mail and then by phone up to twice. Recall was then conducted between June and August of 2008. In October of 2008, after a recall initiative had finished, we reviewed the billing information to determine the amount of reimbursement for any type of visit that was prompted by the recall initiative. We looked at well child care, sick visits, if an immunization was given at a sick visit, follow-up care or nursing visits that resulted from the initiative. We then calculated the additional amount of revenue generated per appointment because of the recall initiative. This diagram describes the process we used. As you can see, we used the local immunization registry to generate recall lists. Approximately half of these patients were up to date after the students compared the registry list and the provider records, and 3,000 patients were actually not up to date after record consolidation and defragmentation. Of these 3,000 patients, a little less than 2,200 were recalled and about 1,000 were excluded. The most common reasons for exclusion included a HIB shortage. Patients who only needed the fourth dose of HIB vaccine were not recalled, and many of the patients had appointments scheduled for the summer when we would be conducting recall, so we did not contact those patients. We then took the 2,200 patients who needed recalling and randomized those into two groups. We had an enhanced group of patients and a standard group of patients. The standard group of patients was simply observed during the six-week study period so that we could track a baseline rate at which patients would return for immunizations. The enhanced recall group was then contacted using the method I previously described. Every child received a letter from the practice informing the parent that we believe their child was immunization delayed, and then received up to two phone calls if they did not respond to the letter. Their response to the recall was then tracked during the summer. Patients may have not responded to recall. Many made appointments. Some patients refused vaccines or had a waiver on file, and then some patients were actually mogied as we conducted recall. And then at the end of the study period, at the end of September and beginning of October, we reviewed billing information to see how much revenue was generated because of the recall initiative. After our initial recall review, as I mentioned previously, about a third of our patients were up to date, and a little more than 50% were in need of immunizations. Our study showed that approximately 17% of patients who were observed only returned for immunizations, while 25% of the patients receiving the enhanced recall scheduled appointments. This was a statistically significant difference. Patients who were recalled and contacted aggressively were more likely to return for immunizations. Our program did have, of course, had program costs. The biggest component of the cost was the student salaries. We paid college freshmen and sophomores about $8.50 an hour to conduct recall for a total of $5,700 across the 10 practices. We also had some costs for letters and postage. Mailing that first round of letters to students contributed an additional $550. And then the cost of vaccine administered. This is only private vaccine. BFC vaccine was not contributed to the cost. So this gave us a total program cost of $10,000. Looking at the results, you can see that a large difference in the enhanced and observed groups were seen. An additional $15,000 was billed to insurance companies for the patients who received enhanced recall, and an additional $12,000 was actually reimbursed for patients receiving enhanced recall. So what's the bottom line? The reimbursement for patients receiving enhanced recall was almost $12,000 more than for children who were observed only. The cost of the program totaled $10,000 for a net reimbursement per additional appointment schedule of $19.44. Reducing student salaries to minimum wage, or $6.55 an hour, increased the reimbursement per appointment to $31.47. We've made several observations during our study. Recall was more effective when implemented at the beginning of the summer. Children who were observed only typically tended to come back in towards the end of the summer, which is consistent with the back-to-school rush. The patients who were aggressively contacted came back in at the beginning of the summer, which also helps with patient flow. If you can recall your patients and get them back in at the beginning of the summer, that minimizes additional work towards the end. Appointment scheduling also increases the number of contacts increase. This is consistent with the literature. More patients responded after a letter and a phone call than a letter alone. And we also saw that letters were no more effective than phone calls. Although the literature suggests that making phone calls is more costly than sending letters, if you're already paying a student to conduct recall, you may as well have them make personal phone calls. That way you can eliminate some of the costs associated with postage and letters. And finally, many of our patients scheduled appointments at the time that they were contacted by phone, so it's helpful to have scheduling capabilities at the time that parents are contacted. Several areas for future study include the implementation of recall using a fully populated EMR, or immunization information system. The bulk of our programmatic costs were associated with paying student salaries. If you can use a fully populated EMR with an accurate forecasting algorithm, you can eliminate those student salaries. Doing so would increase the additional revenue per appointment in our study to almost $73 per appointment. Another area for future study is the use of autodialers to further minimize costs. And finally, we plan to look at the effect of the public-private payer mix on reimbursement rates. So, in summary, registry-based recall can aid in increasing childhood immunization rates, thus protecting against vaccine-preventable diseases. Immunization recall can be cost-beneficial, especially if it's implemented during early summer months when patient volume is traditionally low, if automated systems are fully utilized, and if additional staff support and salaries are minimized. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge some of my coworkers and contributors who helped with this study. Thank you.